Live from the Bloomberg Interactor Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, August 28, 2019. Coming up this hour,
the pound weakens as Prime Minister Boris Johnson seeks to suspend Parliament.
Leaders in Italy make a last-ditch effort to form a government and avoid elections.
30-year Treasury yields hit a new record low as traders watch for any fresh news on the trade war.
Drug maker Purdue Pharma is in talks to resolve more than $11 billion of opioid lawsuits. Plus, Puerto Rico prepares for direct hit from Tropical Storm Dorian. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Masahiro Tanaka pitched the Yankees to a shutout win in Seattle. The Mets lost to the Cubs. The Mets' fourth straight home loss.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Clients can earn 1.63% on idle cash in their brokerage account. Restrictions apply. Visit ibkr.com/yib to learn more.
And U.S. futures are higher this morning, while European stocks are lower, 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 7 points, Dow futures up 47, NASDAQ futures up 17. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%, so is the CAC in Paris. And the FTSE 100 is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 1.46%, yield on the 2-year 1.51%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.6% or 90 cents. At $55.82 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $15.51.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1090 against the dollar. The yen 105.80. Nathan.
And Karen, we begin with a breaking story out of the UK. The pound is weakening as Prime Minister Boris Johnson seeks to suspend Parliament. Let's go live to London for the very latest from Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, Johnson will ask the Queen to suspend Parliament from mid-September until mid-October to kick off a new session of Parliament. The move would hamper efforts to block a no-deal Brexit and could even trigger a constitutional crisis. Johnson said it's normal for a new government to want to press ahead with its own agenda and that there will be ample time for lawmakers to debate Brexit. The pound now trading down 0.8% against the dollar at 121.93. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. Assets in Italy are giving up some of yesterday's gains as President Sergio Mattarella meets with political leaders in a last-ditch effort to form a government. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo is in Rome and reports the Democratic Party and Five Star Movement are nearing a deal.
Giuseppe Conte would stay as Premier. Matteo Salvini would be forced out of office. But the crucial bit here is that there would be no new election. There would be no early election. And the market likes this. They also like the idea that perhaps this new coalition would be more inclined to work with Brussels than the previous one, where obviously we saw some very rocky tension. Sergio Mattarella was very clear. Today is a hard deadline. They either come up with a new majority or Italy will go to new elections.
And they appear to have avoided new elections with word that Democrats have accepted Giuseppe Conte's return as prime minister.
Bill Dudley's latest Bloomberg opinion column is still garnering attention this morning after the former New York Fed president suggested the central bank should reject interest rate cuts that could help President Trump win re-election. Here with more is Bloomberg market reporter Mark Cranfield.
It's certainly getting a lot of traction. It's the most emailed story on Bloomberg in the last 24 hours. And what's making it all the more interesting is that at Jackson Hole, Jerome Powell didn't really make it clear where he stands in terms of what the Fed is going to do at the next meeting. Now, by now, when the rates curve has fully priced in an interest rate cut in September, you would have thought that he would have been giving a sign, yes, the market has got it right, or no, it hasn't. But there was no such indication. So that's really adding fuel to this discussion related to Dudley, even though the Fed have flatly denied that they would even consider such a thing as he was suggesting because of the political consequences.
Now, the Federal Reserve responded to Dudley's column with a statement saying policy decisions are guided solely by its mandate to maintain price stability and maximum employment. We get more reaction from Bloomberg macro strategist Mark Cudmore.
I think the statement from the Fed was very important to clarify that political considerations don't weigh into their decisions. This is just an opinion piece. It's furthering his agenda for perhaps Bill Dudley's own political ambitions a lot farther down the line. He has no role at the Fed now. His role now is at Princeton. His role is to have an opinion, is to have an interesting opinion, is to have a controversial opinion, is to have an exciting opinion. His role now is more similar to my role than it is to do anything to do with the Fed.
Pushback on Dudley's Bloomberg opinion column has been fast and heavy, with some calling it misguided and dangerous. So far, it's done nothing to change bets on future rate cuts from the Fed.
This morning saw 30-year Treasury yields fall to a record low of 1.9% as traders watch for any fresh news on the trade war. So far, it's been quiet on that front since President Trump's comments on Monday suggesting talks were picking up. Stephen Innes is co-founder of Allure Markets.
There is this high degree of skepticism regarding the sincerity of President Trump's comments, because we've seen this happen time and time again, where we have some type of easing intentions only to be hit by another Trump tweet. So we're extremely cautious. We'd rather see affirmative action going on here. We'd rather see some positive action. But right now, we're still sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what's going to unfold.
Chinese officials familiar with negotiations tell Bloomberg that President Trump's credibility has become a key obstacle to reaching a lasting deal with the White House. Only a few negotiators in Beijing think an agreement is possible ahead of the 2020 U.S. election.
Well, so far, it's been a quiet day in global markets, with stocks in Asia finishing the session mixed. Here with details is Bloomberg's Juliet Sally, who joins us from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Benchmarks nudged higher in Sydney and Seoul. They were little changed in Tokyo and slipped in Shanghai. The CSI 300 closed down 0.4%. The yuan halted its nine-day losing streak against the greenback after the PBOC set the daily fix stronger than expected. Still, the Chinese currency is on track for its biggest monthly drop on record, down almost 4% so far in August. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. S&P futures up 7 points this morning. Dow futures up 44. NASDAQ futures up about 14. The DAX in Germany's down 0.4%. So is the CAC in Paris. And the FTSE 100 is higher, up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. The yield 1.46%. And the yield on the 2-year 1.51%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.5% or 80 cents at $55.73 a barrel. And COMEX gold at $15.52.20 an ounce. It is little changed. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 6:07 on Wall Street. And here with more on what's going on around the world is Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. Bloomberg News has learned Purdue Pharma and its owner, the Sackler family, are backing a proposal to resolve all opioid lawsuits against them for more than $11 billion. Under the proposal, Purdue will file for bankruptcy and hand itself over to a trust controlled by the states. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Purdue put out a statement saying, quote, while Purdue Pharma is prepared to defend itself vigorously in the opioid litigation, the company has made clear that it sees little good coming from years of wasteful litigation and appeals. Purdue and other drug makers, distributors, and pharmacies face more than 2,000 lawsuits that have been consolidated before a federal judge in Ohio. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Tropical storm Dorian made a last-minute shift in its path, threatening Puerto Rico with a direct hit. As forecasters said, it could reach near hurricane strength in its approach to the U.S. territory. The storm is expected to pass over or near western and central Puerto Rico today, as authorities warned of landslides, widespread flooding, and power outages. San Juan Mayor Carmen Yulín Cruz talks about her city's preparedness.
We have 1 month of supplies of what is known as surgical equipment and prescription drugs and anything that needs to be used in the hospital and in all of our clinics. And we have 1 month worth of food and water.
President Trump declared an emergency and ordered federal assistance to local authorities. President Trump's longtime bank has revealed it does have the tax records Congress is seeking in its investigation of the president's finances. Deutsche Bank made the acknowledgement in response to a federal appeals court order. A younger brother of Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman is in Washington this week. It comes as President Trump's policies toward Iran and Yemen are expected to be on the agenda. Public support for Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam has slumped to the lowest level since she took office, making her the city's least popular leader ever. According to the latest Hong Kong Public Opinion Program survey, Lam's average rating plunged to 26.3 out of 100 points in August. down from 31.8 in July. Lamb has come under fire amid 12 straight weeks of protests from pro-democracy demonstrators. It was a successful SpaceX test of a next-generation spacecraft that could be used for a Mars trip. It launched from the company's facility in Texas yesterday. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Just before 6:10 on Wall Street, time to check the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, Masahiro Tanaka will almost certainly pitch at some point in the postseason. Yankees can only hope he pitches like he did last night in Seattle. Seven scoreless innings. Tanaka allowed only three hits, struck out seven. Team with Luis Sessa on the 7-0 shutout win, a home run for Brett Gardner, and another for Aaron Judge. That's four in the last five games and 100 homers in Judge's career.
Just another number. Glad to get an early lead, especially against a good left-handed pitcher today. And, you know, I was just trying to do my job. You know, DJ started off getting on base, and I got to do my job.
Are 4-4 on the road trip that ends this afternoon. Mets had that great run, winning 21 of 26 to get into the pennant race, and now they're in danger of falling out. A fourth straight home loss, beaten by the Cubs 5-2 as Yu Darvish beat Marcus Stroman. There was a highlight in defeat, the 42nd home run for rookie Pete Alonso, most homers in any season for any Met.
As soon as that ball came off my bat, I knew right away. Made such good contact. Felt like I capitalized really well on that swing there, and it's such an amazing feeling. I mean, it's been a dream come true so far this year, and I just feel really blessed. I feel honored, and just gonna keep trying to do the best I can every single day, and try to help this team win.
But with the loss, the Mets fall three games behind the Cubs for the second wild card. A year ago, John Millman pulled off the big upset, beating Roger Federer in the U.S. Open first round. Not this year. Rafael Nadal won easily last night. Defending women's champ Naomi Osaka won in three sets, but Sloane Stephens, who won the Open 2 years ago last night, was upset. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. S&P futures are higher by 7 points right now. Dow futures up 52 points, and NASDAQ futures gaining 18 points this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And just before 6:12 on Wall Street, we will take a look at the market reaction to Boris Johnson's plan to suspend Parliament ahead of the Brexit deadline. We'll check in with Bloomberg's managing editor for European markets, Paul Dobson.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are gaining while shares in Europe slide. This is investors await new developments in the increasingly unpredictable U.S.-China trade war. The euro is flat. The pound is dropping after a report that the Queen could be asked to suspend Parliament, raising the risk of a no-deal Brexit. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up about 6 points. Dow futures up 38. NASDAQ futures up 12. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. Yield 1.46%. Yield on the 2-year 1.51%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.5% or 81 cents at $55.74 a barrel. COMEX gold little change at $15.52 an ounce. The euro 1.1096 against the dollar. The British pound 1.2201. And the yen at 105.76. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Tropical Storm Dorian is heading to Puerto Rico. The island is expected to get slammed today. FEMA says they have emergency personnel positioned all over the island. Purdue Pharma, accused of being partly to blame for the nation's opioid crisis, says it's working with state attorneys general and other plaintiffs to reach a resolution. The company, maker of OxyContin, is facing billions of dollars in potential liability for its role in the nation's opioid crisis. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost, the Orioles beat the Nationals 2-0, the Red Sox and A's were winners, the Giants lost. In tennis, today is day three at the U.S. Open at Flushing Meadows. Yesterday, Coco Gauff won her Open debut. Naomi Osaka moved on, however, Sloane Stephens was upset. For the men, Rafael Nadal advanced. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We bring in Paul Dobson now. He's managing editor for European markets at Bloomberg News. Good to have you on this morning, Paul, as we've been watching the swings in the pound this morning with Boris Johnson now confirming he will seek to suspend Parliament and potentially limit debate on Brexit. What do you make of the market moves this morning?
Yeah, good morning. Well, you can see it as one of two ways, really. It was a pretty stark and sharp move by the pound in isolation, lower on the headlines. On the other hand, we dropped back to intraday lows of around 121.50, but we're back up already at $1.22 for sterling. And remember, just a couple of weeks ago, it scraped as low as 120.15. So for all that this feels like it's a little bit more of a dangerous move by the government, so far currency traders aren't seeing it as anything worse than where we've been in the past couple of weeks.
At the same time, we're seeing gains for equities in London. The FTSE is higher by 0.3% right now. Where was the bifurcation here?
Right. So you've always got to consider the fact that most of the large companies on the FTSE 100 index are multinational companies that derive a lot of their revenue from outside of the UK. So a weaker pound is actually good for them when they're earning money abroad and then repatriating it into Britain. So you tend to get this inverse relationship between sterling and the FTSE 100 as a result. If you were to look at the FTSE 250, which is the smaller caps index or the broader index, which includes both of them, then you'll see that actually equities that are UK-based at least are having a little bit of knock. That FTSE 250 index down 0.7% today.
Are you looking for more pound volatility as we get closer to this suspension of Parliament becoming official?
Well, absolutely. The pound is definitely going to be the punch bag here where investors take out their frustrations or on the flip side where they play out their optimism. And I think what you've seen in the last couple of weeks is the market realizing that it was priced close to the levels where you might find the dip buyers, close to the place where you might find value hunters, or you might find investors willing to concede that no-deal Brexit was more or less priced in. So what currency traders have been telling us is the bigger risk right now in sterling is a rebound, a strong rebound, were there to be a suggestion that the UK were able to get some kind of an accord or a delay with Europe that would reduce the kind of cliff-edged no-deal Brexit that's everyone's worst-case scenario.
What are you watching for in broader European markets this morning, particularly as we look at these ongoing coalition talks in Italy? It looks as though the leaders may be getting closer to a deal here.
Yeah, Italy fascinating as well, as they're trying to cobble together this unlikely coalition of the Democrats with the Five Star Movement. It seems now that they've agreed to keep Conte, who was the prime minister in the previous coalition, on in the job. That was one of the criteria for success of bringing this coalition together. Still don't have all of the pieces in place, but it looks like we're getting that way. And that's being seen very positively in the bond market, where you have sharp drop in Italian 10-year yields towards the 1% level and a narrowing of that yield premium that investors demand to hold Italian BTPs rather than German bunds. It's been coming in a long way. We're now right back to where we were in May of last year, which is just before the original five-star coalition with the League was put together.
Do investors see this as supportive of the euro, or are there broader concerns for the shared currency?
I think that this should, all things being equal, be a positive for the euro, particularly against the Swiss franc, notably, you know, kind of like the place where Europeans like to shelter their money in times of increased risk. Unfortunately for the Swiss franc, which might get a little bit of relief from that pressure, were Italy in isolation, the Brexit risks, on the other hand, should be bullish for the Swiss franc. So that leaves that a little bit neutral. Euro as well, don't forget, is under a certain amount of pressure at the moment because we're expecting a reasonably large easing package from the ECB in the coming weeks. That may weigh on the currency, but for all that, it seems pretty lodged at the moment, stuck above that $1.10 level and unable to penetrate those lows.
Paul Dobson, managing editor for European Markets for Bloomberg News. Again, good to have you on with us. A very busy morning on your side of the pond. Thanks again for being with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. And just taking a quick look at cable right now, the pound is at 1.2214 against the dollar. So paring back some of those earlier losses. And the euro is at 1.1097. As far as equity markets go, futures are higher, but just modestly so, with S&P futures up just 2 points at the moment, Dow futures up 6, NASDAQ futures higher by 3 points. That's little change to the upside across the board. Stay with us for more. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. Brought to you by the new Range Rover Evoque. It was designed to open your eyes to the possibilities of what's right in your own neighborhood. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Range Rover Evoque. Land Rover above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The pound is weakening as Boris Johnson seeks to suspend Parliament. The U.K. Prime Minister is looking to suspend Parliament through mid-October, and currency markets are reacting. We get more from Bloomberg FX strategist Richard Jones.
The volatility in euro sterling hasn't really pulled back very much. It still kind of hovers near the year-to-date high. And I think that volatility will continue to push higher as we approach the Brexit deadline. If we do edge towards a no-deal Brexit is promulgated, I think we could see the pound driving to multi-year lows, particularly versus the euro, and I think that we're going to get a ramp-up in volatility to levels that we haven't really seen since the 2016 referendum.
And checking the pound right now, it is trading at 1.2211 per dollar.
Assets in Italy are giving up some of yesterday's gains as President Sergio Mattarella meets with political leaders in a last-ditch effort to form a government. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's John Fulane in Rome.
There has been progress over the possible choice of Giuseppe Conte staying on as premier, but the sticking point is the ranking just underneath, so the deputy premier's job. The five-star leader, Luigi Di Maio, wants to keep his job as deputy premier, but we've just been speaking to sources this morning, and things are stalled because the Democrats don't want Di Maio in such an important role as deputy premier.
The two sides are getting closer to avoiding new elections. Sources say Giuseppe Conte could get a mandate to form a new government as soon as today.
And oil is extending gains after an industry report showing a drop in U.S. crude inventories. Up next, we get weekly oil inventory data from the Energy Information Administration at 10:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Jessica Summers reports.
U.S. crude inventories tumbled 11.1 million barrels, according to the American Petroleum Institute. Now, that would be the biggest stockpile decline since June, if EIA data confirms it. The focus of this week's report is really going to be on demand, as drivers hit the road for Labor Day weekend. In New York, I'm Jessica Summers, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jessica, thank you. Right now, NYMEX crude oil is up 1.6%, up 87 cents at $55.80 a barrel. Brent is up 1.3%. It's at $60.30 a barrel. Futures higher. S&P futures, they're up about 5 points. Dow futures up 30. NASDAQ futures up 10. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32, yield 1.46%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.51%. COMEX gold, little change at $15.51.80 an ounce. The euro at 1.1092 against the dollar. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Okay, thank you, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump has declared an emergency as Tropical Storm Dorian threatens Puerto Rico with a direct hit today. The director of the U.S. National Weather Service in San Juan says practically the entire island will be under sustained tropical storm force winds. San Juan Mayor Carmen Yulín Cruz says they've made changes after 2017's Hurricane Maria.
In San Juan, we are much better prepared than 2 years ago. For example, all of our municipal hospital and our 9 clinics which provide, of course, a health services for all of our people from San Juan and outside of San Juan. All of them now have generators.
Dorian is expected to grow into a Category 1 hurricane. The Sackler family and their embattled drug maker, Purdue Pharma, are backing a proposal to resolve all opioid lawsuits against themselves and the drug maker for more than $11 billion. According to people familiar with the proposal, Purdue will file for bankruptcy and hand itself over to a trust controlled by the states, cities, and counties that have sued. The battle for access of Trump tax returns has taken another step. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Deutsche Bank has confirmed that it has tax returns requested by U.S. lawmakers seeking information on President Donald Trump and his family. Now, the disclosure made by the bank was made in response to an appeals court question, the court weighing a ruling on whether the White House can block the congressional investigation from getting those returns. Capital One Bank says it does not have those returns. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
There were powerful moments in federal court in New York City as more than a dozen alleged victims of accused sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein spoke out. They were expressing their anger and outrage over what they say, what the financier did to them. Shante Davies was among those who spoke.
Pretty upsetting to see how many lives he's devastated and to see how long this went on for and nobody did anything about it.
Epstein committed suicide August 10th in his cell at the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Manhattan as he awaited his trial. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stanshaw.
Nathan, the Yankee road trip ends this afternoon in Seattle. Didn't start well, swept at Oakland, but they've gone 4-1 since. Easy win last night, 7-0 over the Mariners. Masahiro Tanaka and Luis Sessa combined on the four-hit shutout. Tanaka went 7 innings. Aaron Judge got him going. Two-run homer for the first out of the game. 100th home run of Judge's career. 2 innings later, Brett Gardner with a 3-run shot. Houston beat Tampa Bay 15-1. So the Yanks go 10.5 ahead of the Rays and a half game up on the Astros for first overall in the American League. At Citi Field, Mets took a 1-0 lead in the fourth inning on the Cubs when Pete Alonso hit his 42nd home run. That breaks the Mets' single-season record that was shared by Todd Hundley and Carlos Beltran. First time in 81 years a rookie has broken a team's home run record. But Addison Russell and Javi Baez with two-run shots in the fifth and sixth off Marcus Stroman, and the Cubs won 5-2. Mickey Callaway after a fourth straight Mets loss.
Yeah, we're missing the timely hit. You know, they hit two home runs. They were both two-run homers. Our two home runs were solos. You know, we stranded that runner at third. We're just not getting the timely hit or the big hit when we need it to keep us rolling, you know. So it'll change. Tough four games, but we got to come out tomorrow and put it behind us.
Syndergaard on the mound tonight. Coco Gauff, the 15-year-old who made the big splash at Wimbledon, won her first ever U.S. Open match. But last night, Sloane Stephens, who won the Open 2 years ago, was upset. Jeremy Lin has found a job. He signed with Beijing in the Chinese League. Lin authored Linsanity with the Knicks back in 2012. His coach in Beijing will be Stefan Marbury. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanshaw with Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Want to get more on our top story now. News out of the UK that Prime Minister Boris Johnson is seeking to suspend Parliament from September 12th through October 14th. For more insight and analysis on this development, we bring in Marcus Ashworth, Bloomberg opinion columnist from our London bureau. Marcus, what is your instant reaction to this news?
Well, I think we're all a bit shocked because this is a sort of nuclear option. This has been used before, but obviously this is potentially going to become a people's parliament, as I expect the Remain crowd will fight this very hard. There's already a lot of negative reaction from the obvious candidates, you know, in Liberal and Labour parties. But this is just basically cutting this short. What it's done is it's had a situation whereby it's never actually come up with anything alternative to the current Brexit deal as was under Theresa May, or indeed what a hard deal might be under Boris Johnson. So in that sense, the government is saying you've got 7 days to do your worst. They're saying, but in no confidence, doesn't matter. We will then hold an election, and it will be basically people versus parliament, and that will happen after Brexit. So they are basically saying there is no manoeuvre now for Remain opposition to the current Boris Johnson government's approach. It's going to be no deal, unless the European Union will now take this and realise that Boris Johnson's serious and potentially then will offer him a chance to go back into that withdrawal agreement, which failed three times, amend it, take out the backstop, maybe one or two other things, and then there will be a chance from October 14th for that bill to be put forward the fourth time or some short version of it, and then we could actually have a deal done by October 31. But on whatever way, Britain is leaving the European Union October 31.
You're making it sound as though the ball is really in the European Union's court to decide
Correct.
Whether to reopen negotiations. And if that were the case, I mean, what would another deal look like? I mean, they've been so intransigent up to this point.
They have been. Great word and spot on. And I think that the reason, very good reason, that the European Union have played this almost too well. It's like when you play poker against someone, if you take all their money too quickly, you know, they won't come back again. They've done a deal which has kept the sanctity of the single market, and they've kept Britain since trapped by the European Court of Justice and a variety of other different things. And particularly this backstop is the way of making that that Britain doesn't really leave the customs union and do its own trade deals. So that will go. If there is to be a deal, and there'll be a bunch of other stuff, but particularly about the European Court of Justice, is that they will want no contact or no oversight from the ECJ into British affairs. And certainly this is what the government is doing, is going, European Union, you've been waiting for Parliament to stop us and frustrate it and to get a second referendum. It's not going to happen. Therefore, you must deal with this government and you must offer us something. Otherwise, it will be no deal because we are going out October 31.
It's Bloomberg Opinion columnist Marcus Ashworth with us from our London bureau. Thank you, Marcus, for that. Another story we're following this morning, the political situation in Italy. Optimism that the government there is getting closer to forming a coalition has yields on Italian 10-year bonds now at a record low. The Five Star Movement and Democratic Party appear to be headed for a government led by Giuseppe Conte. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's just before 6:41 on Wall Street. Is a former Fed official threatening Fed independence? With a column in Bloomberg Opinion, we check in next with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures this morning are higher. Let's go to the first word, breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bailey Lipschultz. Bailey, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. As you said, futures are a touch higher as investors await new developments in the China trade war. The Dow is up 10 points, S&P higher by 4.5, with the Nasdaq gaining 11 points. U.S. 10-year yield is at 1.47%, while Shanghai slipped about 0.3% overnight. European markets fell, led by losses in Germany. A light day back in the U.S. on the economic front, with MBA mortgage applications at 7 a.m. After earnings, Autodesk shares fell 12% after the company cut its full-year EPS forecast. HPE's third-quarter earnings beat analyst estimates as the company boosted its full-year forecast. Tiffany's second-quarter comp sales were softer than forecast, and Coty's fourth-quarter revenue and earnings were in line with Wall Street expectations. In deal news, Blackstone is offering to take Tallgrass Energy private for $19.50 a share. That price represents a 36% premium to Tuesday's close. And the Sackler family is said to back an $11.5 billion settlement for Purdue Pharma's role in the opioid epidemic. And wrapping things up, Catalent cut to sector weight at KeyBank. Papa John's upgraded to buy at Stiefel. And Antero Midstream was cut to market perform over at Raymond James. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Bailey Lipschultz. Karen?
All right, Bailey, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. We do have this headline crossing the Bloomberg right now. Medtronic CEO Omar Ishrak to retire, and Jeff Martha is to succeed. And Bloomberg, that's the Bloomberg Business Flash. Now, with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Brexit Party leader Nigel Farage says the British government's move to suspend Parliament makes a no-confidence motion now certain. Farage has tweeted after Prime Minister Boris Johnson's decision to ask Queen Elizabeth to suspend Parliament. Farage says that a general election is more likely and is seen as a positive move by Brexiteers. President Trump has declared a state of emergency as Tropical Storm Dorian threatens Puerto Rico with a direct hit. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost, the Orioles beat the Nationals 2-0. The Red Sox and A's were winners. The Giants lost. In tennis, today is day three at the U.S. Open at Flushing Meadows. Yesterday, Coco Gauff won her Open debut. Naomi Osaka moved on. However, Sloane Stephens was upset. For the men, Rafael Nadal advanced. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, young adults are boosting demand for flights as they travel more and posted on social media. According to Delta's chief marketing officer, Tim Mapes, top of the list are monuments such as the Eiffel Tower or filming locations for shows like Game of Thrones. Mapes says travel today is all about the selfie in front of some dramatic place with someone you care about. Nathan Mapes says, when I was that age, I wanted to go to Fort Lauderdale for spring break.
Yeah, because why pay attention to where you are when you can just post the picture later? Luckily for us, Michael, everywhere you are is interesting.
Oh, thank you. And it was hard for me to travel, especially in pantaloons. Global news, 24 hours a day on here.
Those look great in Fort Lauderdale.
On Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists. Yeah, I'm old, an analyst in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Own it, Michael. Thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Democratic candidates for president facing a deadline of today to qualify for the next debate. Two senators saying they've been denied visas to Russia for a bipartisan trip that's supposed to happen next week. And President Trump reportedly telling aides he'll pardon them if they have to break the law to get his border wall built. That's according to the Washington Post. Also making news this morning, still, a Bloomberg opinion column from former Fed president of New York, Bill Dudley, that has some questioning whether he is threatening central bank independence. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. And essentially, the thesis of this opinion piece, Kate, is that the Fed shouldn't give President Trump the interest rate cuts he wants to boost his reelection chances, saying he shouldn't be rewarded for bad decisions on trade. What is the response to this in Washington?
Well, the response has been swift and in many ways, I think, severe in the sense that there's been a lot of criticism of the idea that a former Fed official would weigh in on this and essentially encourage the Fed to make decisions based on who might be in the White House after 2020. I think that even though Trump has tried to bring the Fed into the political realm, there's always been this idea that they should be above the fray. And the fact that a former Fed governor is in some ways going a step further and making the suggestion that the Fed's actions should be influenced by how they would affect a presidential candidate, I think is making a lot of waves and causing a lot of consternation in Washington and elsewhere.
Is the Fed itself responding to this?
Well, I think that the overall sense, I mean, from the Fed, it doesn't make a lot of, you know, really public statements. But I think the sense is that from the Fed is that the Fed's going to continue to do what they see as fit as vis-a-vis monetary policy without necessarily taking into consideration the political fallout of that.
Wonder how much you're going to be watching President Trump's Twitter feed in response to this. I mean, we've seen him talk a lot about the Federal Reserve on his social media in the past.
Yeah, and he does, you know, like to feel as though he's been persecuted or the victim of, you know, political bias. That is one of the themes we often see in his Twitter feed. And so in many ways, this column plays into that thesis. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we hear from Trump this morning, you know, sort of talking about using this to sort of make the case that, you know, the Fed is perhaps, you know, biased against him or in it to see that he doesn't get a second term and further politicize the matter.
Does this potential politicization of the Fed play into the presidential race, the president's prospects for reelection and a Democratic reaction?
I mean, in some ways, I think it potentially does. What it does, I think, really is inject more politics into whatever the Fed does between now and November of 2020. You know, obviously, separate from this, the global economy is slowing. There are some really worrying signs. There, I think, is already a sense that the Fed may take some action to lower rates potentially between now and the election. And I think that if they were to do that, now that would have sort of a political overtone to it, which could end up being very, you know, tricky for everyone involved to navigate when it comes to the Fed.
Another important development in House Democrats' efforts to get at the president's financial records. Deutsche Bank has made a pretty remarkable revelation here.
Yeah, they have. You know, they've indicated that they have actually turned over some, they are actually in possession of and have turned over some of the tax returns that have been sought by House Democrats. But I think there's still a lot of uncertainty around that. You know, they've acknowledged that they have these tax returns, which essentially provides a confirmation that they have some sort of a relationship with some of the folks, those being Donald Trump Jr., Ivanka Trump, the president himself and the president's company, these tax returns that have been requested. However, in many ways, this whole revelation kind of creates even more questions than it really answers.
Such as?
Well, I think that what we're curious about now is, you know, whose tax returns specifically these are. We don't know that because the names have been redacted. And also there are questions about, you know, whether or not these tax returns and what exactly has been turned over to a court. And if they have been turned over to a court, whether or not that bolsters the efforts of members of Congress, Democratic members of Congress, to get a hold of those tax returns. Because I think their argument would be that once they're provided to a third party, that essentially Deutsche Bank and other financial institutions have waived their right to, you know, claim that they can't provide that information to Congress. So I think that this is kind of an incremental step, but perhaps a potentially important one when it comes to Democrats' efforts to get their hands on this information.
A lot more to come. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. And you can read more about these stories and that Bloomberg opinion column on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It is 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
No smoking at the cigarette giants reunion. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Altria and Philip Morris are in talks to recombine a decade after they were split into two companies. One is focused on the U.S. tobacco market and the other internationally. They are best known for the Marlboro brand, the top-selling cigarette in the U.S. and the world. But while cigarettes are still the overwhelming source of their profits, you never know it from looking at their websites. Altria and Philip Morris have tried to remake their images in recent years into something more wholesome seeming, diverting attention and resources to what they call smoke-free products. Those include the IQOS tobacco heating sticks and controversial e-cigarettes like Juul, in which Altria has a 35% economic interest. Their combined cash flow and networks would enable them to make a greater push for IQOS and Juul globally, as well as fund future dividends and share buybacks. Valuations for both Altria and Philip Morris have languished in recent years. So to the extent their grip on consumers was also slipping, this merger is how to get it back. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. We continue to watch shares of Tiffany this morning, up 1.6% right now. It did report a second quarter profit that beat analysts' estimates. And we'll also be watching Medtronic as Chairman and CEO Omar Ishrak announced his intention to retire as CEO in April of next year. S&P futures are little changed now, up 2 points, and Dow futures are up 3. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.